And welcome back to the Constitutionals Podcast. I'm your host, Chad White. If you didn't know, this is the premier podcast for the website, cpluscomedy.com. Like I just said, it's a website. Go there. Episode 288.5. Here we are, petting the dog, sitting here with the studio light off, the ring light off, hanging off the wall. From a command strip hook that is probably four keys or something. We are recording a very special episode. An interview I don't typically do. Hitting the mic. Don't worry, I'm a professional. And this is an interview I typically don't do, but I wanted to. It's very important. I spoke with two of the leading people at an imprint, what's it called? hold on. What is the thing that you would say? What is it? I mean, like, it's not a media label. I would say like a comedy label. Anyway, Ian Adkins and Ryan Bitzer are here from 800-pound Gorilla Media talking to me about this very cool initiative they're doing called Worldwide Comedy Month. Comedy is not just American comics or European comics. There's comedians from all over the place, and they wanted to showcase that. A media label is what I would say. Yeah. They're a record label. Let's just call it's a record label. That's the term I'm looking for, which I found on the about page for the website. That's why I stumbled there and paused for a little bit. Ian and Ryan sat down to talk with me about Worldwide Comedy Month, which is a new initiative where they wanted to bring this world together so they can laugh and have a nice time. It's lasting all April long, so we're about 18 days in. I talked to them about a week ago, so it's all relative. They spearheaded a media campaign for every comedy fan to enjoy. Right now, fans can enjoy comedy shows in the U.S., the U.K., and Australia. They can experience them online or in person. 800-pound Gorilla Media also has a slate of specialized programming, including the global premiere of stand-up specials and scripted projects, which you can watch right now. The month's not over. There's shows, releases, fan engagement, and the comedy community will unite like never before. You can tell I'm reading something because I would never speak like that. This is just a chance for everybody to enjoy comedy. Now, it's very important because they say this in the interview, and I'm so stupid I asked about it a second time. But the website, which you can check out right now, worldwidecomedymonth.com, worldwidecomedymonth.com, has a calendar of the releases that they're putting out, as well as, all right, it's very important, a curated list of everything that is not theirs as well. So premieres of TV shows like Loot that premiered in April this month, or tapings of comedy specials, or known comedy releases that are coming out, even though that their name is not a part of it or attached to it, they just want to show that something in the comedy world is happening every single day. David Cross, Kyle Kinane, Liz Miel, Alex Edelman. They all had releases this month. You see? You see what I'm getting at? There's also Rachel Bloom at the Moontown Comedy Festival, which happened on the 11th. Matt Rife had his YouTube premiere of his of a special of his. Was that this month? Well, the movie Sweet Dreams premiered this month. See, it's just all different types of things. And you can be a part of it just by enjoying comedy and going to the website, worldwidecomedymonth.com. 800-pound gorilla media is a great little, I don't want to say that. I don't want to diminish them. It's a great record label that has released incredible comedy, featured on Netflix, featured on YouTube. People like Mark Norman, Leanne Morgan, Sean Patton, Eliza Schlesinger, Jerry Seinfeld. They're great. They're based out of Nashville, but they work with people all over the world, as I mentioned. They have great values. I love them. I like 800-pound gorilla media. And Ian and Ryan were great to talk to. Transparency, they were both late to the interview. I don't want to say how late. Well, they were both late to the interview. So much so, I went, oh, I guess we're not doing this. I love it. It's fair because one of them, it was on the eclipse day. And one of them is in a different country. So it's fine. What's the deal? WorldwideComedyMonth.com. Check out everything that is happening in the comedic world. Ian Atkins, Ryan Blitzer, coming at you after this song. Listen, if you like what you hear here, there's no video to this also. No video. There's only going to be audio. If you like what you hear here, head to the website, cpluscomedy.com, where you can see me talk to so many other people in the industry, whether they're comedians, musicians, comedic musicians, whatever. I talk to everybody, producers, drama actors. I talked to Kurt Fuller. It was a vertical video. Check it out, cpluscomedy.com. You can also watch a video version of this podcast, not this specific episode. Again, this is not going to be a video. But you can watch a video version of this podcast on youtube.com/cpluscomedy, where you can also watch video versions of the other two podcasts, LinkedIn Logs, which is the job podcast, and what's the other one? Late Night Lately, which is the late night show. You can follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, at C Plus Comedy, me, at Chad Black White. Again, WorldwideComedyMonth.com. Check it out. And now, on to the interview. Yeah, no worries. I just wanted to talk to you guys about the Worldwide Comedy Month and everything that's been going on. And it just seems like an interesting feat for anybody to put on. I don't think anything of this size and caliber has been set before. So I just wanted to see where the impetus for this was and you know, how's it been going so far? We're 8 days in.
Yeah, exactly. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay? Am I good?
Yeah, you're good. I just want to make sure I move to headphones. Well, I mean, this started near the end of the year. Like I told Catherine, it's sort of naive, but we just were looking at all the shit going on around the world and just trying to figure out, like, what could we do to spread a little laughs at the very least. And we started talking about, we've got all these submissions coming in from around the world. Mm-hmm. And we should do something with that. And I think, you know, the team just came up with this concept of like, hey, let's try to take a month and celebrate comedy. And one thing led to another. And April seemed really, really good for many reasons beyond April 1st. There's a lot of festivals in April. And then if you go too late, you get into the UK's Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to overlap with that. And so it felt like a really good time. So we picked April and just started calling comedians and telling them about it and getting some folks on board.
I love that. Yeah, that it just April does, I think, of all, but besides coming up against the edge of the fringe, coming to the fringe of the Fringe Festival, I think that that April is a perfect month for comedy because you're getting right into spring and people are ready to laugh, come out of their winter coats, and just have a nice time.
Yeah. Ian, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I just I think it's just as our company grew worldwide outside of North America, we just really it really reinforced the fact that laughter and comedy has no boundaries whatsoever, and it just has the potential to, it's like Ryan said, just across all kinds of political, gender, financial, any boundaries, racial boundaries, anything like that. And it's just like, man, what I can't think of any other force of nature out there that has the ability to do something quite like that. And we're just fortunate enough to work in that industry. So yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you both work for 800 pound?
Yeah, we should back up. Yeah, Ian and I and Damien and another gentleman called Anthony really started this whole thing. And Ian, through his family, had the opportunity to move to Europe. And so when he brought us that, we were like, well, I mean, we've been going over to the UK for 2 years. Like, let's try to take a serious stab at trying to help that market. And so he ended up going to Brussels and sort of tackled business. And then I kind of act as a COO, for lack of a better word.
Now, how's the Ian? How's the comedy over there in Brussels? Is it what? How? What is their stand up world like? Because I can't even like just pick out anybody.
Yeah, I mean, well, Brussels is how we've kind of treat Brussels right now, and it does ha actually have its own Francophone and Dutch comedy scene for sure. Our expertise is in, obviously English content, and we and I and I've kind of treated Brussels as a southeastern zone of London, more or less, and the proximity to the UK, it really. Sometimes I can get there fast. I can get to London faster than people that actually live in London on the Eurostar train that gets
Whoa.
there. So being in that time zone is great. Working there is very easy, and it just translated really well from what we were doing in North America for about 6 years to bring those kinds of things we were doing over to the UK. And there's so many English speakers in Northern Europe as well, that are content that we market to and everything like that. So it makes sense in several ways.
Is it did you find what was there a learning curve having to work in Europe and try to market the market comedy, or was it were there just like small stepping stones that you had to get through in order to go, okay, well, they won't like this brand of comedy, so let me try and serve them this.
Yeah, well, we always, as a company, always have relied on, I mean, we have our instincts and everything like that, but at the core of our business is data, and really reading what, the results of our marketing campaigns and any sort of any of those types of initiatives that we've been doing is really paying attention to what the customer's telling us through their actions, whether it's views, purchases, feedback, or anything like that. And we really had a lot of success with a lot of our content doing well in the UK, and then also some of the artists that we started working with that were from the UK, how they were would translate into a North American market, and really the household names in the UK, how they were relatively unknown in the North America, but there were such talents that it took really no time for them to find an audience. And then we've got several examples of how they started, and now they're able to tour in North America, right? And vice versa. We were able to bring a lot of comics not from the UK, and then find where they really resonate in the other territories.
Yeah, I like seeing comedians like James Veitch, if that's his name, I don't know how to pronounce it, but seeing comedians that really have their starts over in Europe, and they're coming over here. They're doing Tonight Show. They're popping up doing Netflix specials. I think that's a very big step for people in order to get their names out. Now we're like in this easy mode of you can get comedy on Spotify. You can get it via podcast. You can go to Conan's interviewing people. You can watch it on Tonight Show. There's just so many easy ways to have a stand up and really watch it and enjoy it compared to what it was 20 years ago when the only way you could get it was watching it on HBO or watching it on Comedy Central. And I do love the fact that you can still sit down and listen to an album. And now somebody's got to market it. Somebody's the person who is the comedian has to come out and go, these are the 14 tracks I did, and here are some jokes, and I hope you like them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a lot. That's you described very similarly how we thought at the very beginning, especially starting from the audio space, which we did, and putting in albums. And really, when we came in, a lot of the bigger household name comedians that were on major label records, there just wasn't a budget or focus or the attention put on comedy albums, just because the priority was in music and everything like that. And so that's where we kind of came in. We're like, well, let's use some of the skills that we learned in our past lives working in the music industry, apply those concepts and strategies to comedy and see what works. And really in a short amount of time, which Ryan can attest to, we saw some fantastic results that ripped through the internet faster than anything we've ever done in music, just because those boundaries that I talked about before just didn't exist. There wasn't the tribalism with, I'm a country music fan, so I don't listen to rock and this, that. Funny's funny. And we really saw that with the data.
Now,
Yeah,
go on, Ryan.
I think that started with Jim Jeffries. He has a gun control bit that really is the sort of beginning of us sort of cracking this code, watching that bit go across the globe 60 million times. Tragically, every time a shooting happens, but like the point was that bit would just come back alive and people would share it no matter what your affiliations were. It seemed to be just something everyone sort of touchstoned against these terrible times of like, what are we doing with the guns? And so that kind of gave us a clue of like, man, with the right subject, these things can move across all boundaries. And that was the sort of antithesis of building this, like the idea behind it. And then you just see it come into Worldwide Comedy Month. It's like we just keep trying to push the boundaries further with this thinking of like, look, we understand some jokes are only going to work in Australia and they're only going to work in the UK, but certain topics cross all boundaries. We all deal with them. Family, food, relationships, those things just tend to work.
With the translation of jokes, besides somebody wanting to put out a project and make money from it, or just get people's eyes on their stuff, was it difficult to get people on board with the idea of a Worldwide Comedy Month, or did you hear any feedback from the comedians themselves going, this is great, this is something that we needed, or something that they really wanted to do?
Yeah, like anything, I think there's certain groups that jump in early and they're like, we totally get it. How can we help? And then there's some people that we haven't heard anything negative at all. We have some artists that are like, cool, let me know how it goes, But that's like anything. It feels like you just got to get the train moving and then people see, oh, okay, this isn't just about 800-pound gorilla. We've got on our YouTube page, we have specials from all platforms. And the goal is, yes, of course, we're going to help our roster and help our comics, but we're also going to help everyone that we think's good and needs to be visible, regardless of where they're signed or where that special is. And that's the spirit of this. And I think once people see that, they're going to jump on board even more.
Okay, so I have this question, and it's going to sound completely just out of the blue, but you both work in comedy, and I've been doing this for 10 years, 11 years now at this point. And when I started and I started interviewing comedians, I thought, hey, I should watch everything they ever did. And then that burned me out within 2 years. And it's so hard for me now to watch a stand-up special, or unless it's somebody I truly love, or somebody that really interests me. How do you guys get through stand-up specials? What is a trick for you? Do you still enjoy comedy? Are you still finding anything fun with it?
That's such a good question, man. Because that's what happened to me in music is it became everything. You're from the morning, morning till night. And I just burnt out on music, which is horrible. Because it's like, I got into it because I had such a love for it. So when I got to comedy, I wanted to protect that a little bit. So as soon as we could, we hired a department to go through the hours and hours of comedy. But we still are fans. We still love comedy, but you got to watch how much you're putting in, because anyone will burn out, and so.
I just add too, it's as we get older, that our tastes change or they kind of stay the same, right? And stuff that I find funny is no longer funny to the a lot of people that are out there. So it's important to have a fresh staff and group of colleagues and stuff that are out in the clubs. I mean, I have two kids. I'm not out in the clubs every night, right? But there are a lot of younger people on our staff that are, and they have their finger on the pulse of whatever scene it is, whether it's New York, LA, UK, London, anything like that. And it's important to have those people and to bring the perspectives in, because if it was us listening to comedy all day, I mean, it would be a different company for sure. So I don't know if that answers it exactly, but it's important to bring everybody in from every age, background, everything like that, because there's funny stuff everywhere.
No, that's definitely both fantastic answers. It's so tough because yes, there is this wide gamut of comedy just readily available at any time. One of the things that I also notice is that they're like YouTubers now and TikTokers who've never done a second of like true stand up. They go, hey, I'm popular. Let me go do stand up. And they have like 2,000 of their fans come out, and that's funny for them. But what happens when you guys get somebody who is just unequivocally just not funny? Like there's we can be nice, we can be very diplomatic about it, but this what happens when when somebody is suggested to you and you just look and go, this is not good, like just really not good. Do you try to move on naturally from it, or if they're so persistent, that person or the person suggesting them, if they're so persistent, what happens next in that equation?
Well, everything that comes in gets a response. So not everything's going to work. We have an audience that looks to us, and they're very vocal. They'll tell you if you're missing the mark or whatever. And so you don't want to let them control you, but you also have to remember you have someone to serve. And so I think people come to us and go, you know what? This company usually has good stuff. And so we got to protect that relationship. And so as stuff comes in, we're going to reply to anyone who sent it in and tell them why it's not being picked up. And that can be from like the premises are used a lot. Airline jokes is a great example. Unless you have an incredible take on flying, that's sort of a used up premise. And so we're looking for original premises, original thoughts, because that seems to be what really works. And what is that comic's authentic story that'll work really well. So we just have to say no sometimes, but we don't just say no, we say no, and here's why. And so you can take that information and do what you want with it. But it's, you got to protect that. You got to protect that brand, especially as we grow. So I hope that answered the question.
It does. Sorry, don't look at the video. I have a Mac and I don't know how to turn off the thumbs down and the thumbs up emoji thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's tricky though what you're saying there too. And I would just add, like, yeah, when you're in a TikTok short 30-second clip environment where people can really go viral for being funny, and then, you know, think it translates to an hour. I mean, you see that all the time where it's just not there. But then you kind of put that against, like, well, there's a whole new generation of people that are discovering comedy for the first time, and maybe their take on it's way different than ours was growing, yeah, coming up, you know, and of course it is. So it's how do you blend the current thing that is popular and trending with something that in the core of it is quality, and you know, still having your finger on the pulse of what people are finding funny today. So yeah, that's the only thing I would add.
Are there any comedians that still are continuously surprising you with their jokes, with their writing, with what they do on stage? None.
You have an answer, Ian? I was waiting for you.
I'm thinking. Go ahead. You go first.
Gosh. It's, yeah, I could give you a list. I think just a recent example of that is Kyle Kinane. I think he keeps reinventing himself every single hour, but still holds true to that brand, that storytelling brand. I love that. It doesn't even matter how large a comic is. Like, I love people that continue to grow. I think Greg Warren's one of those comics. Chad Daniels. These are people that have been with us a long time. Kelsey Cook keeps reinventing herself. It's you. If you see something on our site or on our YouTube page where you see the artists coming back and back, those are people that we're loving their growth. You know what I mean? And so we keep re-engaging with them. That's a good metric to see that.
Yeah. And I think like with the, on the UK side of things, especially, it's a different cycle over in the UK for comedy, like in hours, right? So they're working on a work in progress that culminates in the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh every August, right? So they're working up this hour. They perfected it over the year that then gets displayed and performed, you know, throughout. But the main part of it happens at the Fringe Fest, right? And then based off that, then they can go tour that hour the rest of the year while they're building up their next one. And so they're very prolific, and these hours are, I mean, some of the best talent on earth comes out of there, right? And just the amount of content that comes out of there, it's like we kind of went into that market saying, like, how do you capture it? Because there's so much of this stuff that just would never get captured. Video, audio, it just gets lost forever. So that's primarily where I work right now. So it's, those are the kind of artists that I see that really excite me, because they're having to do that every year, you know, a new hour. It's amazing. Yeah.
Now, Ian, when the Australia is might be part of your purview. And I know that, you know, it's by itself. And I know that when it has its own television, it's got its own movies and everything. When you see a comedian from there, do you ever find that they're just more honed and more sharpened because they're able to, they've been working on that and just telling every and doing everything they've done on in Australia, and then coming to the UK and just really coming out guns a blazing? Or how does that Australian comedy compare to UK, which compares to the US?
Yeah, I think what I'd say there is we've definitely identified the past year or so when we've really put a focus on Australia, is the pipeline between Australia and the UK is very strong and back and forth. There's a lot of comedic sensibilities. The sense of humor is more aligned together. than there are necessarily between Australia and North America and UK and North America, right? But where we come in there, it's not a 100% fact all the time, but there are, that's some of the stuff that we're learning through the data and through the marketing and what we're seeing. And so one of the things that we're doing is using our expertise in North American market, UK market, is being able to go in there with some real science and saying, this will work in other markets, and these are the reasons why, and here's how we can augment what you've already established in Australia, right? And so you are the expert in Australia. You know how to reach your audience. You've done that. Now let us try to help you enhance that in other markets, right? And this is how we're going to do that, and this is the reason why. And I think that's our approach right there.
I love that. Now, one thing I also really appreciate about Worldwide Comedy Month as a whole is that you're not just focused on stand-up. You have people like Natalie Palamides, who is, I'm sure, going to just put on a show with that whatever the same thing she did on Netflix, I assume is going to be the same thing she does here. And I love her jokes. She's a very funny person. Are one person shows, sketch comedy, are those anything that we can ever see coming from 800-pound gorilla in the future, or just versions of that be put out with the company's imprint?
Yeah, I feel like you saw a press release we haven't released yet. But one of the things we've identified this year is like we have this audience and they love comedy, and it started with audio and it grew into video. And so now it's like, well, let's try putting some sketch in front of them. Let's try putting some scripted stuff in front of them. So we launched Brent Pella's sketch show. We kind of took his existing sketch comedy shows and stitched them together into an hour, and we put that up, and we're like, okay, let's see how that does. If people are coming to watch the special, they can see the sketch. If they know the sketch or they've seen the sketch, maybe they can watch the special. Try to work those two together. Same thing with Matt Rife. We did a Bird Patrol, which I think launched last night, and that was a show. A scripted show he did as well. And so it was just put up on YouTube, and he wasn't really what he is today. And so we said, okay, if you're coming here for the special, Matthew Stephen Rife, you may not know that this thing exists over here. So trying to push that audience into other projects and see what the feedback is. Let the data tell us, like, did they like it? Did they not like it? But I think that's how we see ourselves is a purveyor of comedy, period, right? Sort of like we joke around all the time and just say we want to build what Comedy Central should have been building the last 15 years. And you know, we're eventually going to stumble on our South Park, our show that just breaks the boundaries and is funny, you know? That's the goal, is like your North Star is just making people laugh. How can we cut down those lines in between the content and the people? So just to bring them laughter.
I love that. I feel like I just got the mission statement for the company, just like right there. Whenever you guys are pitching yourself to like TJ Miller or somebody, like, we got to break down those lines in North Star and everything.
TJ's great.
Okay, so I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but the when you pull together, I just want to know about this. When you pull together other companies who aren't part of you, when you're working with Apple for Loot Season 2, or you're doing something with Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, how does that work for you all as a company? Is it like one to one? I don't even know. How does it work? How does coming together for that work?
I didn't understand the question. I'm sorry.
I see on the schedule there's a Loot Season 2 premiere,
Oh,
and
yeah.
then like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the stand-up tour. How do you guys put all that together to work with other companies who aren't like just comedians? It's like you're working
you.
with Apple, you're working with NPR.
I think, no, the way we approached it was like, hey, every day this month, we're going to provide you a list of things we think are really funny or that deserve your attention in that realm. And so that's what that is. It's like our staff going through and being like, hey, check this out. Hey, check this out. Regardless of platform, right? So that's our whole goal is like, how do we get you, how do we broaden your viewpoint? Because Gorilla can only do so much, right? It only has so many things. And the world of comedy is so vast. So it's like, that's the whole point of the month. Doesn't matter if 800 did it or not. This is funny.
All right. That's wonderful. Well, Ian, Ryan, I thank you so much for sitting down with me. I very much appreciate it. You're doing just great work. I love the world of comedy, and I love that there are two smart people along with a team of other people who are able to help push it forward and just try to bring the world together. Thank you again so much, and great work on Worldwide Comedy Month.
Thanks, man. We appreciate you paying attention and like giving a shit. We think that's cool.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Have a good rest of your day. Enjoy the remnants of this solar eclipse.
You too,
right,
man.
You too.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.